Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We have to have a conversation about Tausch's guy. Edition. The Evan Cohen scheduled to appear. Edition. And the Mr. Foreperson, have you reached a verdict? Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the Wisconsin, on the ESPN Wisconsin app, which is available now in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jace Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the jury deliberation room. Hunter Vaughn is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He knows football. He knows ball. What does he think? He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Yeah, I saw that Orlovsky deal yesterday, and I don't know exactly what he was saying. Like, if you don't know
we don't ball, know people don't know ball.
What does that mean, though? Like, is he saying that Jordan Love is a... Because, in essence, what I think he's saying is Jordan Love's a top four quarterback in the league because his QBR is good. Listen, man, there's 100 ways to evaluate a quarterback. You know, the big one, in my opinion, is... There's what?
That's a song by Simon and Garfunkel. 50 ways to leave your lover, 100 ways to evaluate the court. Never, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted. Please continue.
No, I don't get, like, what is that?
You've never heard that song?
No. No.
Get on the key, Lee, and set yourself free.
Oh, yeah.
Hop on the bus, Gus. Don't need to discuss much. Just jump. No? Okay.
All right. So, yeah, I have heard that song. I have no idea how that fits with anything about Orlovsky, but I guess the situation and how we overanalyze things, obviously, and Jordan Love has been overanalyzed, but I don't know how anybody can sit here with a straight face. And, look, Dan watches a lot more film than I ever want to, so I want to give him credit for that. I like Dan. I'm sure when you take your summer break, we will try to get him on the program, but if I'm looking at this thing realistically, now I know there are a lot of drops, and you know we went into a big discussion point yesterday about leadership and how a quarterback is.
Mm-hmm.
There is nobody that's going to sit here and tell me what we saw at the end of the season in 23 is remotely or is even really adjacent to what we saw last year. There was a more consistent amount of greatness that we saw. And that does not mean Jordan Love stunk last year. And I know LaFleur got into the narrative that he regressed or that he was not as consistent as we'd have hoped to have seen a quarterback in his second year. Not someone that we paid $55 million to and have big expectations. And now part of that, is it that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers preceded him? Absolutely. Hey, welcome to Titletown, baby. That's how this works. Is it fair? No, probably not. But it is. And Jordan Love last season, and I ask Dan, I ask anybody that watches a lot of film, tell me a game I can clip on and say, man, he was sharp from start to finish. Man, this offense hummed from start to finish. Because I can certainly look at a lot of games at the back end of that 23 season and say that. Kansas City, I thought he was sharp from jump. Detroit, I thought he was sharp from the jump. I can't say that about it all. There is a process. I understand all of that. But when you make those claims and you basically say people are idiots, which, again, I don't have a problem with. You put in the work. And you think people are speaking out of pocket, which, by the way, plenty of people do. I don't mind that. But I look at it. I can't sit here as a guy that likes Jordan Love and wants him to be successful. I'm not going to just go along with a narrative because it's easy and it's the path of least resistance. Guys are getting to the point now where, and I think you started, I'm not going to put this all on you, but you and Domofsky and guys, you guys just didn't want to take the heat. This is not a flame. This is just literally observing what's going on and saying what you think. And what I think is Jordan Love was good last year, but he was not great, and he was not consistent. And that shouldn't be some, oh, you're an idiot take. That's just the reality of what I saw, and I think what a lot of Packer fans saw.
So the tweet, for those of you that are unaware, we discussed this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning as well. And before I read it, as I said yesterday, after Tausch left us to go play golf, Dan Orlovsky knows a million times more about the quarterback position than I do. I would never dispute that. I also would say that there are ways that you can disagree with people's opinions, because just because he played the position and watches film doesn't mean that his interpretation is necessarily right either. People have disagreements in opinions all the time watching the same stuff. I would look at it, as Tausch said, at what he did during the final eight games of the regular season of his first year as a starter, and what he did in that playoff game against the Cowboys was magnificent. Now, did he play great in the Giants game when they lost to DeVito? No, but he didn't play terrible. They didn't lose the game because of him. And that is really, really good quarterback play. And I'm not saying that to have progressed, he needed to play at that level for 17 games or however many he played due to the injuries. Do I take into account his drops that he dealt with from his receivers? Yes. Do I take into account his injuries? Yes. But again, he completed 70% of his passes, 18 touchdowns against one interception in the final eight games of 2023, and then he was even better against the Cowboys. And there was not a single game last year where you looked and said, that's the guy that I saw last year. Now, how much of that is injuries? How much of that is drops? How much of that is Matt LaFleur's scheme? How much of that is the conversation that we had that I kept saying, hey, now defensive coordinators have an entire year's worth of film on him. They're going to have a better idea how to defend him. All those things factor in. But he was not as consistently good. His last four games, the Saints game and the three losses, including the playoff game, to end the year, he completed 60% of his passes. He threw three picks against Philly. In his last two playoff games, his last five playoff quarters, he's thrown 5 interceptions. And guess what? You hear me say this all the time. Growth is not linear. That doesn't mean he didn't grow from those less than stellar performances. But to suggest that he progressed in terms of his performance and his production, I don't buy that. And if you want to get into a semantics debate about, well, he didn't regress, he just didn't progress the way you would have wanted him to in year two as a starter, I'm on board with that if you want to play that game. But
Jason, what season was a better season for Jordan Love, 2023 or 2024?
2023.
No question.
Look, the first half of the season, he was figuring things out. He's a first-year starter. But he played like Aaron blanking Rodgers. His numbers...
Hunter, pull that. I don't know if any of our other shows or anyone has pulled... Because, listen, you're right about regressing. And regressing is too strong of a word, and words matter. I get all that. But do you think Packer fans would say, and you think Orlovsky would say, that Jordan Love made the jump that we hoped he would last season? And you can say factor injuries and drops. Those are realities of what his situation is. But You know who doesn't really care? The stats. Like, there are reasons for things to happen. But again, you're out there and you judge seasons on the production. It's how it works. Does that mean that Jordan Love can't rip-roar through and be an MVP this season? Absolutely not. I think he can be. I think he is a talented thrower of the football. He's smart. He does a lot of things really well. But that doesn't mean we have to sit here and say, oh, he was better last year than he was the year before, because if you're looking at the full picture, I would say he was a better quarterback last season in 2025, or 2024, I guess it would be. Because the first half of that year. But the back end of that year was big boy quarterbacking, and there wasn't a time last year that we did a post-game show or came on here and did a show, and I was like, man, that was big boy quarterbacking by Jordan. There were games you said, man, he made some really nice throws. The Houston Texans game where he whittled that ball through and made a beautiful play. There were games that he played, did some really – awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there were never any times that we were like, it just wasn't. And there was in the year before. And again, there are reasons for that. But on the whole, he was a better quarterback from start to finish last season. But he was not, if you're looking at expectations and what we saw at the back end, just look at the back ends of last season compared to the season where we ended up getting beat in San Francisco. By the way, Jordan Love played an awesome three quarters, and then he stunk in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
That also was part of this, and that was the process. So that's why I think to just completely say you're an idiot and you don't know jack about quarterback play, I mean, I would disagree vehemently with Dan on that.
Anyone who says Jordan Love regressed last year doesn't look at QB play properly. Thanks. Have an awesome day.
Dan did also tweet again today about Jordan Love and quarterbacks. So thought this one was interesting as well. With the 5 QBs finished top 10 in QBR in each of the last 2 seasons. And it's Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jordan Love, and Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Jordan Love's been a good quarterback. No doubt about it. He's been good. He was not consistent last year. He just wasn't. And you can find QBR stats, and you can always find stats that will fit a narrative. I don't think either of us are saying Jordan was not a good quarterback last year. He was fine. But was he as good as he was at the back end of the last? I guess I don't even want to say good. I just want to say, was he as consistent in how things went? And the answer is no, he wasn't. And that is part of growing up in the NFL and understanding what your team needs and understanding that when it's a sloppy game against Detroit, I don't need, the screen pass. You just, there's things you still got to figure out, and that doesn't make it bad.
So here's the issue. And I need Barry Alvarez talking about Ben Brust here. Because who gives a blank how we view last season?
Who the hell gives a shit whether Ben Brust is great?
What matters is what he does this season. And it is an incredibly pivotal season for him. If he is the quarterback that we think he is capable of, and apparently Dan Orlovsky believes he already is, then he needs to play at that level in year three. That is undeniable. No one can dispute that. And if Josh Jacobs, with his bruising running style, suffers an injury during the course of the season and misses some time, and
elevate.
He's not... I'm sorry?
No, I'm saying if that happens, he's got to elevate.
Right.
Jordan Love's got to elevate because you have to... That's the other thing that you factor in here. He didn't have... Now, Aaron Jones was a dog at the end, and I argued him and the O-line play improving is why Jordan Love played as well
as
he
did. And you were right.
And last year, last year, obviously, the O-line play wasn't as good. It just, I think a lot of us underestimated some of that, but obviously Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur didn't feel that way. But you still had a dog having a great season in the running game help you. Now, the receiving corps did not help Jordan Love at all last year. That's why there's new sheriffs in town and new blood that are going to try and try to correct some of that stuff and push these other guys to be better. But Jordan Love had the tools to elevate and get better and be kind of the guy that we all thought. And I don't know if we could say that happened with when you factor in Josh Jacobs gave you a lot more consistent production than what Aaron Jones did the season prior.
All right. Again, before we hear from, because this debate was on Unsportsmanlike this morning as well. If you listen to the show every day, like Michael in the YouTube comments, I don't think we ever started the fire on regression being the conversation. I think what the fire that we started, or that I started, was asking Jordan Love last week and asking Matt LaFleur last week, he had the line about my physical specimenness, is what more does Jordan Love have to do for you guys to get to where you want to go? And Matt LaFleur obfuscated in his answer. Because he doesn't want, as you pointed out, he doesn't want to put additional pressure on his quarterback. That, to me, is the conversation here. Now, am I irritated that Dan Orlovsky said what he did? I am. I'm not going to pretend I'm not. But for those that think, first of all, none of us here are rooting against Jordan Love. None of us here think he's a bad quarterback. None of us here think he's not capable of elevating his game this season. If he plays like we saw him play in the second half of 2023, it's going to be a very good year for him, and it's going to be a really, really good year for the Green Bay Packers. And maybe we are talking about how, hey, just like Aaron Rodgers in 2010, Jordan Love took his team to the Super Bowl in his third year as the starter. Okay? So those are all possibilities. But again, it feels to me, and you like to talk, you use the line that Eleanor says, let me feel my feelings. There seem to be a lot of people that just they want to encase Jordan Love in this glass, encasement, so we don't hurt his feelings and say bad things about him. I don't even think this is harsh criticism. He did not take a major leap in year two, whether it was injuries, wide receiver drops, whatever you want to call it. He didn't make that jump. He was not significantly better. Did he regress? I don't know, but he didn't progress the way they wanted him to. And Matt LaFleur doesn't have to stand up there and say, yeah, our quarterback, he didn't do good enough last year. He needs to be better next year. He's not going to do that to his guy. He's not going to throw him under the bus. But we try to have honest conversations here. And if you're not capable of that, and you think that, oh, we're just upset that Dan Orlovsky hurt our feelings, then you're in the wrong spot. But we appreciate you listening anyway. Speaking of listening, you should listen to Tausch tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, it's time to upgrade your windows and doors And you know what? You don't want to spend a fortune. Well, Pella is the answer. The best in the industry and has a product line for every budget. Right now, no interest and no payments. That means nothing for 2 full years. We'll have a really good idea where Jordan Love is at in 2 years. And you won't have to pay a dime down on anything, interest and or payments. So if the plan is to wait, well, guess what? You can get it now and wait to start making payments for up to those 2 years. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on June 30th. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
We'll hear from the unsportsmanlike crew before we hear from Evan Cohen. That's all next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, leave, and get yourself free.
Well, this made it all the way to unsportsmanlike this morning, and we will talk to Evan Cohen as we always do on Tuesdays.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I got up and played some early pickle this morning, and I would have thought unsportsmanlike is basically becoming an there's some ESPN Wisconsin
flair
vibe to that show. They start the show with Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh and whether or not Pittsburgh should tell him to blank off, and then they get into Jordan Love, the Jordan Love convo. That's the first two blocks of unsportsmanlike at 5 a.m. this morning.
So all they needed to do was talk about whether soap cleaned itself and pickleball, and they'd have had our show with different people. So the debate, we're using this as a jumping off point for the conversation. I don't give a blank about whether you want to say he regressed or didn't progress as much as you'd like, or was bothered by injuries, or his wide receiver. I had Jim in the YouTube comments yesterday saying that the wide receiver group is dog crap, which he used a different word than crap.
Who said that?
Jim in the ESPN Madison YouTube. Look, there's all kinds of factors that play into performance. Matt LaFleur always says it's not all on the quarterback. He's always trying to prop up his quarterback. He did it with Rodgers too. He never allowed people to just blame it all on his quarterback. He's great. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Matt LaFleur is part of this equation too, right? When he said late in the season that we have to win our one-on-ones and get open, and he sounded like Mike McCarthy, it was that and the sloppiness that stuck out to me of things he said. Because the whole idea behind his scheme is to scheme people open. And if that wasn't happening and you were relying on guys winning their one-on-ones, that's a problem too. So,
well, a little play action from under center would help.
There's a thought.
A little play action from under center would help.
No doubt. So, again, this is a bigger picture conversation. It's not about the word regressed. I'm not interested
fixating
on that word.
Yeah, Hunter put the poll in the field, which, Hunter, great job.
Thank you.
The stats definitely lean towards 23. The eye test.
Well, he missed three games, Tausch. And, his production's not going to be higher. That's what LaFleur said.
I understand that he missed three games. But
I did too.
I think this is going to end up being a Canyon type of deal. After I saw the stats, I think we're going to be in the 90 percentile. And then when you start looking at that, and listen, man, I understand that not everybody watches the film and breaks everything down. And there were a lot of drops, and Jordan made a lot of plays. But that back end of that season, and with the expectations that you deal with on both sides of it, his rookie campaign compared to his second year, you just expect a little bit more. And Jordan Love was better stat-wise and I think eye test-wise 2023 than he was last year. And that doesn't mean he stinks. That doesn't mean he's not going to be great. I thought last year was a solid year for him. Solid. It was not great. And you should be able to say that without taking
shrapnel.
Shards. Yeah, whatever you want to put. You know, it's not you can critique and not be a dink. I think that's what we're doing here.
That was criticism of your guy, right? That's because he was a dink yesterday.
I have no problem. Yeah, he could have his belief, and he can say it from the he can shout it from the rooftops. Doesn't mean he's right.
All right, I want to play these two clips because I want to ask Evan Cohen what he thought when this back and forth occurred. So this morning on Unsportsmanlike, which you can hear across ESPN Wisconsin, it's on 5 to 9 Central Time on ESPN Radio nationally, had this conversation. First, let's hear from our buddy Chris Canty and his view of Jordan Love's inconsistency.
It's too inconsistent. Jordan Love doesn't show up for a third of the season, and that's across 2 years. When I'm paying a guy $55 million a year, that is problematic. He is set up for success. He's got the head coach. He's got the offensive line in front of him. The Green Bay Packers went out and spent a bunch of money on Josh Jacobs last year in the offseason. This offseason, they went out and did something that they hadn't done in 20 years, which is draft a wide receiver in the first round. Last time they did that was Javon Walker in 2002. They have set this man up for success. Jordan Love needs to figure out how to be more of a steady hand for this team, because when you're paying a guy that kind of money, he's going to have to help the team overcome the adversity that it faces throughout the course of a 17-game regular season. And too often, Jordan Love wasn't the answer for him when other things were going wrong with the team.
Okay, so that's Chris Canty's position. Now, I would like to add, I don't know about you, I don't ever bring up his salary. I just look at that as that's what young, up-and-coming, good to very good, not sure how good they're going to be quarterbacks cost. That's the cost of doing business now. So I never bring it up. Do I have a blind spot on that? Should that be part of the equation? Because I don't think it should be.
Yes, it's part of the equation.
Okay.
Is the CEO that's getting paid monster money with stock options more responsible for the company's growth and success than the janitor? Now, the janitor's got a job to do, and you got to get it done.
Who's the janitor?
What?
So who's the janitor?
I'm not going to get into it. A janitor could be a backup left tackle.
Sean Ryan.
And you have a role to fill. It's just like getting drafted first round compared to the seventh round. Money is the expectations are you're getting paid a certain way. Even though that is the going rate, you get paid that, you're taking up a big chunk of cap. You need to be a baller. You need to be somebody that does elevate your team. So yes, I don't have any problem.
Okay.
Just like when you're on a rookie deal, you're gonna be, oh well, he's got all this, like Brock Purdy. No, you got all this help, you got all these guys. Now he's getting big boy money too. He's going to have to elevate because he isn't going to have Debo, and he might not have his left tackle, and McCaffrey's beaten up. That's the deal. That's what you sign up for. And by the way, everybody will sign up for it.
Okay. Then sometimes criticism follows, right, if that's part of your equation as well, because when the company's stock tanks, no one's blaming the janitor for that. It's about the CEO if we're looking at it from the reverse angle, right? Then there was Michelle Smallman, our resident Packers fan, recent convert, and here was her part of the argument on Unsportsmanlike.
I think that the notion that Jordan Love regressed is based on the way he ended the season prior. And by that, I mean that final 8-game stretch. He had 18 touchdowns, 1 interception. And then we all remember they went into Dallas and absolutely destroyed the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs and went toe-to-toe with San Francisco. So based on the way that Jordan Love ended the season and into the playoffs, we all thought he could be in the MVP conversation next year. And that obviously didn't happen when after that first game, he sprained his MCL. And even when he came back, he was still dealing with the residue from that. So if you look at it, you could say, well, we expected him to be so much better and take this huge step forward the next year, and he didn't. And that's underwhelming. And they were one and done in the playoffs to the eventual Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. However, he did win 2 more games than he did the year prior. And he was battling that injury all season long, which really lent itself to that inconsistency that we saw. Does he need to be better next year? Absolutely. But I don't think it's cause to ring the alarms when it comes to a big Jordan Love regression last season.
All right. Briefly, quarterback wins are not stats.
No alarm bells are ringing. And by the way, if you're doing that, Malik Willis got three of those wins.
I was just
year.
That was thank you. That's
but there are no bells being rung. Like, that's not what this is. It's just evaluating and saying, you know what, Jordan needs to be more consistent. I don't want to get into he needs to be better. He needs to be more consistent in 25 than he was in 24. And anybody that wants to argue, Jordan Love would not argue with that. Matt LaFleur might. Jordan Love ain't arguing. Ask Jordan Love, hey, what was your best game last year? What do you think your best game was from snap 1 to snap 70? I'd be curious what it was.
I don't think he's among the players that are talking to us today. I'm hoping that Zach Tom is among them because I've really been looking forward to talking to him and a few others. But as of now, I don't
know. That's odd. I don't have any problem criticizing and putting his job up on the block. But you can't say anything bad about Jordan Love?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I find that odd.
I find that odd as well. All right, we need to get moving here. We need to talk to Evan Cohen. I need to remind you, Associated Bank has been with us from the beginning. And I couldn't be more proud that they have stuck with us through all, soon to be 9 years, our nine-year anniversary coming up very quickly. But that's because they're loyal, and I'm loyal to them, and it's because of their great customer service. It's not because of Packers checking, although if you're a Packers fan, you'd love that. It's not because of Badgers checking. It's not because of Brewers checking, although they have all those things. It's because of their great customer service. Early pay, get access to your direct deposit up to 2 days early. Credit monitoring to make sure your score is where you need it to be so you can have that lending power. And, of course, fraud protection. I experienced that they were looking out for me from the jump, made sure that I didn't run into any problems that way. So check out AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Cincinnati Reds.
Churio launches one out to left. This is carrying back, and it is gone. Jackson Churio goes deep.
Tonight on 100.5 ESPN.
You know what that music means? It means he won't be joining Tausch at Summerfest to see the Killers live at the AmFam Amphitheater. But he will be joining us right now on Wilde and Tausch. It is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh. Wow.
This
is the best.
I'd
say this is the best Evan sounded in years.
We finally upgraded our guest.
Let's see. You've always wanted Smalls over me, so say hi.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
And you've always wondered why Rob, our social and digital guy, has never been on with you. So, Rob, hola. How was the dentist?
Oh, I haven't gone yet. T-minus 2.5 hours. I'm contemplating the outfit right now. They did give me a TV show to watch while I'm getting my work done, and I chose the deadliest catch.
Rob, how much conversation do you have with the dentist when you go in?
I don't know, but I think I'm going to try to record some of it.
Oh. By the way, I'm standing next to Rob. He needs to go to the dentist.
Always looking for content. Wow. What a good teammate, though. Why are you all together? Aren't you usually driving to your gated community when you talk to us?
Well, it's not gated, but it's a nice area. Because we were all talking on the corner here, and I don't know. I figured, I said, do you guys want to go on with Wilde and Tausch? And they said no, and I said, I'll pay you. And they said yes. So.
Oh.
That's not true. They love us.
All right. They got to go. Go ahead.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks a lot. I love that. That was fun.
Yeah,
Evan, Tausch pointed out that Unsportsmanlike this morning had a distinctly Wilde and Tausch Wisconsin feel with the Rodgers discussion followed by the Love discussion. We played Michelle and Canty's takes on Jordan Love. As you were sitting there and they were giving their opinions, what was your thought about where Jordan Love is at? Because it sure feels to me
like Dan Orlovsky and many others, are hung up on a specific word, and that is regression.
Yeah. So here's the thing, Jason, I'm a little confused about. Wait, is Rob telling me I smell? Because that's not me. Sorry, we're bright garbage. Here's the thing I was very confused about, because you need to help me on timeline here. This has become a story over the last 24 hours, and then I went to go do some homework on it last night. This happened Friday, didn't it?
Yes. Love was asked. Love was asked about taking a step back, and it was one of the rare times that I had moved on to Josh Jacobs. So I had asked my questions and gone elsewhere, but I watched the video. It's one of the few times I've seen him be prickly in response to a question. And then I had asked LaFleur earlier, what more do you need from your quarterback in his third year as the starter for you guys to get to where you want to go? And he had a good line about his injuries and how it takes a while to recover unless you're a physical specimen like me, pointing at me. But he kind of deflected, and he never actually answered what more they need from Jordan Love. And so I think that was the genesis of this. But, yeah, I don't know why. I can't explain the lag time.
Yeah, so here's what I would compare it to. I think this is why that we have the Jordan Love debate. Tell me if you think this makes any sense. I don't know that there's anyone, when he got his contract, that said, boy, the Packers, what a terrible move. I think it was pretty obvious to give Jordan Love that deal. I think everything we've seen from Jordan Love off the field, and I know very little, but I'm just taking in what the public is, the public perception is, he seems wonderful, right, off the field. On the field, he has shown tremendous signs of greatness. But then you ask the question, like, is he a top 10 quarterback? Has he done enough where you can even eliminate the idea of regression? And that's where it's like, it's almost, think about Wilde and Tausch year one. Top 10 show? No, of course not. They haven't done much, right? They just started, like, kind of a couple years in, whatever. But it's like, all right, everybody knows they're going to be great. But at that moment, they hadn't been great for long enough, right? Versus now, eight, 9 years, whatever it is, on the show. I don't know that anyone believes that Jordan Love has regressed to a point where you wouldn't think he'll be a top 10 quarterback in this league. Period. Next sentence. Is he a top 10 quarterback? Probably not, but everyone assumes he will be. So we could debate regression or not, no regression. He's just in that gray area of we all think he's going to do it, but hasn't actually done it enough. Is that fair? Mm-hmm.
I think it's very fair, and I think the argument that I've been making for weeks is that this is a pivotal year for him. We're going to find out just how good can he be this year. And I think we're going to find out that he's a really good but not a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think that's where he will ultimately land. And that doesn't mean you can't win a Super Bowl with him. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a Packers Hall of Famer. Doesn't
Jason,
mean he's not going to be a
Jason,
Pro Bowler.
Why do you think he's not going to be – why do you think he's so young? Why would you make that statement?
That's
which one, the Hall of Fame one you're saying, Tosh?
By the way, let's not make this sound like that's some incredible slight on him.
Well, as a Green Bay Packer quarterback.
Jason, that's the point. That's the point. It's when you – see, it's so weird. Most people say, hey, don't compare them to all the peers around the league. In Jordan Love's case, being compared to his peers is much easier than being compared to his predecessors.
Mm-hmm. You're 100% right about that.
You know, it's like.
But Jason, I'm just curious because is it completion percent? Like, what is it? Because he has proven he has the big boy arm. He makes the big boy throws. It's can he do it consistently?
Yeah,
I don't think he's as accurate
with his ball placement. And you'll have to ask Dan Orlovsky if I'm right or wrong on that.
Well. You're wrong.
Like now I have to ask him, or like?
Well, no.
Yeah,
I mean, if you see him,
see that.
You can ask him.
Yeah, ask him.
I was texting with him this morning about this, but I didn't exactly go there. What a humble, terrible bride that was. I think here's what the other thing. I think he's more Favre than Rodgers, which we've discussed many of times, and I think we're just more used to Rodgers than we are Favre recently in terms of evaluating Packers quarterbacks. But Jason, answer this one. Is he going to be more Favre-Rodgers or Mikowski when it's all said and done?
Yeah, that's...
And by the way, I don't want that...
Right, because what you're about, let me predict what you were going to say. Because Don Majkowski was a pretty darn good quarterback until his injury,
right,
and then
exactly.
Favre took over. Like, it's not like he was a bum.
That's correct.
I'm gonna punt on that. I don't know, but I don't think
you want to say Majkowski, but you don't want to be Soundcraft. That's what just happened right here. If we're being honest,
I don't know what he's going to be. The future is still unwritten.
Well, so then, okay, wait, Jason. So
yes,
Tosh is right. Tosh is right, obviously.
Obviously,
so you're. Well, no, Tosh did something unbelievable for me, which I'll get to, which I am so grateful for. I think maybe the greatest thing Tosh has ever done for me. That's a good tease. But
offered you two VIP tickets to our favorite band. Yeah, that was
you did
nice.
Something even better. You did something even better.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not.
Oh, I'm curious.
He doesn't even know what it is.
No, I have an idea.
So, Jason, let's pretend we never talked Jordan Love. Let's pretend we never talked Rodgers and Favre. If I were to say to you, Don Majkowski, as a quarterback, during the time he was in the NFL for the Green Bay Packers specifically, his overall grade, letter grade, would be?
Boy, this, you want to talk about what a great show Dallas was, too? Like, this was a long, long time ago.
Dallas was off the air. In fairness to Evan, Dallas was off the air when Magic was quarterback in the GM.
Are you sure? His first year was
89. Dallas went off in 88.
He was he started five games in 87 as a rookie.
Oh, no, then, okay, pull back. He was still there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Fair. All right, my bad.
Then he started nine games in 88. Look,
Jason Wilde, give me a grade.
Yep, give him a grade.
A solid B.
Okay.
When in doubt, I give out Bs.
Okay, so Jordan Love's career with the Green Bay Packers, if you had to project a letter grade as we sit here today on June 3rd, we're projecting a decade in advance, but your projection of what you think his grade is going to be as quarterback for the Green Bay Packers would be?
If Rodgers and Favre were A-pluses, I want to say A-minus, but I'm going to say B-plus, which is better than Don Majkowski, but not as good as
the two
Hall of Famers.
You cannot be in the A's if you don't have a championship. Can't.
Okay. For that organization specifically,
sure.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
very
so,
yes.
Now, let's discuss why the regression angle then comes to light specifically with this quarterback who's so young in his career. It's because he now, based on what Jason Wilde just did, in the lifetime of the audience that is listening, the fans of Wilde and Tausch that are listening and watching right now, he does not have a comp. So, because we thought he could be Rodgers and Favre, and we're saying he's actually in between Rodgers and Favre and Majkowski, thus regression is from A-plus assumed, no evidence, to B-plus practical. Thus, that's a regression. It is actually unfair to label it a regression because he never actually gave us A-plus. We just assumed A-plus. That was the greatest breakdown any person has ever given of anything ever, I think. Not to, wow. I mean, pat myself on the back.
You're very humble.
Wow.
Very
Jason
humble.
Jason Wilde right now, I can't see him, but has a face of, damn, I hate this guy. That was good. That's the face that Jason
Wilde did
right.
Kind of give that smirk. Well, here's the question I have. I think most of us going into 23 would have been pretty content with him being like a C-plus first year. Nobody had expectations. Packers not going to be playoff team. And then we start off 2-5, and it's, oh, boy, here we go. Bah, bah, bah. And then everything sped up. It got Anders Carlson out of the Green Bay Packers organization. And what Jordan Love did from Thanksgiving of 23 till the postseason loss to San Francisco sped up a process that maybe now we're looking at he has regressed from that point. That doesn't mean he regressed from September of 23, but he certainly regressed from Thanksgiving of 23. And that's unfair, but that's the reality of playing the quarterback position. That's how I would look at it.
So that takes us to the place where –
went to, and I know I went to a couple of months ago with you guys, of this year, Green Bay Packers need to be an NFC championship team in the NFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love needs to be top five in MVP, and Matt LaFleur needs to be top five in Coach of the Year. I'm not saying or else. It's not. I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is, as we've discussed, 1 year from now, if at least two of those three aren't accomplished, I believe we talk about them closer to the end than we do the beginning. Doesn't mean
here's
it's
what
be
I would
closer
say.
To the end. We talk about right. them in that regard.
Here's what I would say. When you start factoring in, and we haven't even gotten to what happened with Detroit center and retiring yesterday. We haven't even gotten into that yet. Is, I will get
big,
into that in the next hour.
That's a big deal. Not that we should be talking it's offensive linemen ever.
It's a big deal. No. Hold up. I know how you roll. But what it does tell me, and you're saying NFC championship game, I'm saying this. Vikings are going to a young quarterback. Bears have a new coach. Detroit lost both coordinators, and they've lost some key pieces, and their star pass rusher is coming back from a busted-up leg. The Green Bay Packers need to win the North. They need. I'm not going to say they need to go to a Super Bowl. They need to recapture the North under LaFleur with Jordan Love to put the stamp back on that we are the kings of the North. That's what needs to happen in 2025. Mm-hmm. More so than, we want to win championships. Huh?
No, you're strong today. You came prepared. I like this. This is, I think you're right about what you're saying, and it reminds me, Tausch, of Coach Alvarez, right? Coach Alvarez would always say, let's start with the Big Ten. Like, worry about everything else after that. Win the Big Ten, take you to the Rose Bowl, and, you know, there were years, obviously, when I was in school there from 98 to 02, where they were in the national championship conversation, not in the game, but Barry Alvarez would always say, Big Ten, Big Ten, Big Ten. And I remember for a long period of time wondering after that, like, all right, Barry, you're so damn amazing. Why not think bigger than Big Ten? And his point, and he's right now, especially retroactively, was always it starts there. Everything else can fall into place, right? Because I think when you think national championship, you may not win the Big Ten. But when you think Big Ten, you may be in the national championship race. So to your point, if you just think North and you think practically, winning the North means you're better than Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, which I think is not going to be easy. I think they're going to be good. You're better than Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell, a great defense-offense combo package, and you're better than the defending NFC North champ Detroit Lions. So I think you're right. Start North and then work from there.
Yeah, I think there's no excuse civil, at this
what
point.
What a civil, serious back and forth we've had today. Jeez.
Well, it's not even civil. You're talking about what you're looking for. What that, I guess the benchmark needs to be. We have not won the division in two seasons. Or is it three seasons?
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm wondering, do the Wilde and Tausch fans that are with us every Tuesday, do they like what's happening now, or do they want us destroying each other? Because we've kind of set a pattern of just ragging on each other and laughing.
Sure.
And we've had hardcore NFL analysis that I think has been very good.
Well,
not
only that. Now, so we're gonna ask you to stick around through
the
break.
I have a call.
At what time?
Well, Tausch told me to break here and then bring you back. So take it up with Tausch.
Yeah, I don't want to rush Evan telling me the greatest thing ever done.
Okay, I have an important call with HR. That's not a joke. I will have to reach out. I may even have jury duty.
Well, you come back later in the show.
Sure.
Hey, come back later in the show. Let us know when you're free.
I will hold on. I will reach out, and I will see if I can push it back, and we'll see what happens here. So, coming up, maybe, possibly, I will reveal a story of the nicest thing that Tausch has ever done for me. We'll find out if I show up. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin.
Oh, he's teasing us out.
It's really good. There you go.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
Well, apparently Evan could not push back his meeting with HR because he's not back. So, do you know what nice thing you did? Or did he just decide, you know what, we've gotten along too well?
He texted me that he's good. So he's good. I'm assuming he's calling back in.
Oh, I'll give him a call then and see. I assume he would just call right back in.
I don't,
oh, okay. I'll call him.
Okay.
Well, then we eagerly await that conversation. Have we heard from Jesse at all?
He can't. He's how much can he talk about what's going on when he's
done? I don't
done?
Think he can talk about the case in any way, shape, or form.
No, when it's done.
I don't know. That's a good question.
So if he gets done with jury duty on Wednesday and comes back on the show Thursday, he'll probably have to take a day to regroup from this arduous jury duty. Can he discuss what happened in that room? Why they got to the decision they did? How they got there? Because the case is then done, correct?
I would think. I mean, look, the OJ jurors wrote books, right?
They did. Yeah. So once it's over, it's over. But then what about appeals? And then, oh, well, Jesse Nelson on Wilde and Tausch ended up doing this. And then the appeal process comes and says, well, the jury was tainted because this is how this played out. That's where I don't know how that works.
Yeah, well,
from
we'll
a jury duty standpoint.
I will ask David Gruber. He is my go-to on all things legal. So I will ask him. I'll text him after we get done talking. Some more with Evan Cohen, who is done with Lisa Putterman, and he's now joining us again on Wilde and Tausch. Hi, Evan.
Well, I'm not done. I had to postpone, and Lisa is wonderful in our HR office, and she was willing to move it back, and she is amazing. Speaking of Gruber, I was with Gruber on Thursday night, as a matter of fact, at Madison Square Garden. Hung with him watching the Knicks and the Pacers game.
Cool.
All right.
We nice want to know what nice thing Tausch did for you.
Wow. Oh, okay. So Mark Tauscher did something pretty amazing. So the other day, on Friday, actually it ties into the Gruber story now that I think about it. So this has been a very busy week for me in terms of travel and just different things. So Thursday night, I live outside of New York City. Let's call it about an hour outside of New York City. But Wednesday
but
night and Thursday
gates.
Night of this no gates. I promise you, no gates. Wednesday night and Thursday night, for a myriad of reasons, I stayed in New York City at a hotel. So Friday, I did not have my car with me. Friday, I'm taking the train home, which is about an hour train home. And, you know, you're around people on a train, so you don't really talk on the phone or anything like that. And I get a Tausch texts me, and he says, what's Canty, Chris Canty, on Sportsmanlike, 5 a.m., ESPN Wisconsin. What's Canty's issue with Brooks Bollinger? And I said, former Badger quarterback. I said, no, nothing at all. They just didn't win a game that they played together with the Cowboys. And that Canty hates losing so much that game, he would have been bothered with anyone that was at the quarterback position. It was Brooks. And that Brooks was a great teammate. And then, before Tausch could even respond, I sent another text to Tausch. I said, when are Bollinger and I going to become friends? It's bothering me that we're not. Now, let me explain something. I think every single Wisconsin sports fan, not Badgers specifically, state of, and everywhere, has a player that they love that no matter what, they'll rank ahead of everybody, even if they're not the best at that, right? There's a million Packers that are non-obvious, non-love Favre Rodgers guys that I'm sure, like, Jason, your favorite Packer growing up, that's the non-obvious one.
John Jefferson.
Okay, Tausch?
Gary Ellis.
Frankie Winters.
Okay, right, so, like, Favre was the best player of the team. No, like, Tausch may say, no, I think Frankie Winters was. Like, he was just the best, right? So during my time at Wisconsin, Ron Dayne was known as the best player on the Badgers. Obviously, NCAA leading rusher and Heisman Trophy winner. But I thought Brooks Bollinger was the greatest. I thought Brooks Bollinger was the greatest quarterback. I thought he was so cool at how he handled it. The game at Ohio State, 42-17, his first start, I think they won. I just thought he was the best. I thought he was the best representative of the University of Wisconsin at that position. I interviewed him a few times, talked on the phone with him in an interview once or whatever. And then all of a sudden, so I'm driving home. I just wanted to set it up that way. Driving home, or on the train home, Tausch is calling me. I text him back. I say, I can't talk. I'm on the train. I see a voicemail pop up. I'm like, huh, that's weird. Tausch never leaves me a voicemail. Play the voicemail. It's Brooks Bollinger from Tausch's phone leaving me a voicemail saying hello and saying, talking about going out to dinner, et cetera. And it was the greatest thing ever because I love Bollinger. I feel like maybe he's on the other line right now and I said all this, but who knows? But Brooks Bollinger is the best, and Tausch got him to leave me a voicemail on Friday. That was very nice of Tausch.
There you go. Yeah.
He is the best. I sent a text to him and to Tausch with a photo of Brooks during his MVP season in the UFL. I got no response, so you should feel very good that they called you while you were on the train. You mentioned being with Gruber at Game 6 of the Eastern Conference.
We're going to end this there. I was too long on that. We're not going to actually get... When am I going to become friends with him? That's what I'd like to know, Tausch.
Well, I think a Tornado Room meal, probably. I don't know which game you guys are coming out for. We're doing a big Rose Bowl deal, I think, before the Ohio State game. So that
would
be a good opportunity for you.
I didn't know we are. We are?
Yeah. I think you covered that team. You could come back.
That's right. I covered it. That's right. What day is that?
So come on back. Absolutely. So that would be probably the next best option.
Ask Brooks. He'll tell you what day it is.
Tausch, put us on a text. Me, you, and Brooks.
Okay.
Do me a favor.
I'll do that.
Okay. And by the way, this now may be, am I going to come back for 3 Badger games this year? So now this is interesting. So we have this Ohio State Rose Bowl game that we're doing.
That
all of us that were part of the Rose Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all of us that were part of the Rose Bowl team. Me, Brooks, Tausch, Bron, the crew.
The gang.
Then November 22nd, Wisconsin at Illinois. Keep an eye out for that one because there could be a certain show that pops up on a special Saturday show for that one.
Oh, wow. That out.
Bielema on set.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
Yep. And then... You know what I've been thinking about, and I could say this because obviously he's in school not listening. We thought about for my son's birthday this year. He's turning 12. He's never been to Madison, and my wife and I are both UW-Madison grads.
Vegas of the Midwest.
We thought about taking my son and daughter to Madison as a birthday present for my son.
I love that idea.
Well,
instead of a stupid birthday party that you waste money and nobody cares.
Sure. I think what you should do is come back when Matt LePay gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. You should make that the weekend that you come back with your kids.
Great call. Great idea.
Tausch, I'm actually one step ahead of you. That happens to be my son's birthday that weekend.
That is.
Now, am I inducting him?
Coming together.
I can't speak for Matt. I don't know. You'd have to ask Matt.
I would think you'd be on the short Rose Bowl team.
You'd be on the short list, I would think, for sure.
Who else would be on that list? So,
Jesse Nelson.
Me or you?
I think Jesse probably would be right there. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tausch, what about, I'm dead serious. What about you and I doing this
together?
Hear. I'm dead serious. Well,
no, I know you are.
For the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, do they have presenters? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't believe so. I think it's just the person that gets inducted who speaks. But
I was going to say,
I don't think you could tell. Like, I feel like preemptively putting yourself in that position. I don't think we can do that. Maybe we can. Next time LePay joins us, we'll ask him. Yeah.
Tausch, I got an idea. What if
let's hear it.
Okay. You and I are co-presenters for LePay getting into the UW Sports Hall of Fame. And then what LePay does is surprise us naming both of us 2026 honorees.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I'm in for that. That
both
sounds
of
like
us should be in. We won
for
a Rose
sure.
Bowl.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I'll sign up for that. I think both of those things sound great on my end. And then we go have a meal. We grab a bite. Take a beat, grab a tornado. Yeah, I think that sounds perfect. Well, for LePay, we'll even go in early. We'll get like a 5 o'clock reservation instead of a 10 o'clock.
Well done. All right.
There you go, Jason.
Asking, Jason.
There you go.
I was just going to ask about the NBA Finals since you were there for Game 6 and the Knicks losing to the Pacers, but we should probably just let you go because you've got to talk to Lisa.
No, we can talk about it. I mean, I told her 15, 20 minutes. It's been 12, unless you want to get rid of me.
Lisa is awesome. I don't want to keep her waiting. That's all I was thinking of.
Can I ask you, I have a dead serious question. So Game 5 at the Garden is what we went to, and I was talking to one of our teammates at Good Karma Brands, the great Tim Colligan. And Tim works on the finance and business side, but he brought up something very interesting. He said, it's weird. Wisconsin is unbelievable at rooting for their own. I said, I know. He said, but if you're from Wisconsin, you went to school at Wisconsin or Marquette, if you're a pro athlete and you come back, we are really good in the state of Wisconsin at rooting for our own. I said, yeah, I agree. What's the catch here? It was except for one guy.
Yeah.
He said, who? And Wisconsin does not like Tyrese Haliburton. He's the only hometown guy that the fans will not root for. So I ask you both, is Tyrese Haliburton the most disliked Wisconsin native or UW-Madison, Marquette, UW-Milwaukee, whatever, graduate in all of Wisconsin sports right now?
Yes. Right now, there's no question. I'm trying to think who's even in the conversation with him.
I don't know who's in the conversation historically. That's a really good, that's a good question.
Play out a couple of things. Aaron Rodgers comes back with the Steelers this year, theoretically. He's split, right? He's getting cheers, maybe a couple of boos, but, you know, split at worst case scenario.
No. If it was in Green Bay, Evan, I'm going to say this. If he comes back to Green Bay as a Steeler, he gets booed universally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I would not have expected that. Okay, so that's
Jason, do you disagree with me on that?
How badly does he get booed?
I don't think it's not like Favre with the Vikings.
Okay.
But there's not going to be a ton of applause. If there's any applause, it's a smattering. It's going to be Boo City, USA.
Okay.
But that ain't going to happen anyways. It's in Pittsburgh. So
correct.
All right, so Russell Wilson comes back theoretically with the Giants. I think there's no reaction. It's not booing or cheering. It's indifference, right, I would say, with Russ at that point.
Totally agree.
A couple of Badger fans to show up with Badger jerseys, so he's not disliked. He's neither, right? The time was so short in Wisconsin. Tyler Hero, my guy with the Heat.
That was going to be that's exactly who I was going to ask about.
Well, Tyler very much reps Milwaukee, right? He was always wearing Brewers gear. He actually has rocked old school Bucks gear at times, which is weird considering he's on the Heat. Is he booed?
I don't think
so. He's more disliked than Tyrese Haliburton? Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Not even close. No, not close.
Jimmy Butler, Marquette, probably indifferent or cheering, right? I mean, so Haliburton is by far, in your minds, the most disliked hometown-ish Wisconsin athlete?
At least currently.
Yeah, it's not close. Yeah, there's nobody else I can even think of.
Well, you just told me that everyone would boo Aaron Rodgers, so you just thought of someone. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but it's
different. That's because he's like if Haliburton just came back and it wasn't at a Bucks game, he's still nobody here. I think everybody feels like he has been an antagonist towards the Bucks, and that's why it would be
great.
The
word.
His dad is cussing out Giannis. Like, there's just a lot of stuff there that I think sports fans from Wisconsin don't like. Rodgers, it's just, I think they're done with him, and I think that's more of what it's like. Rodgers will get a hero's welcome, like Favre did when he comes back as a Packer Hall of Famer. But that'll be five years down the road.
Right, and I'm not a Rodgers guy, but I think that is the right reaction, the right response.
For sure.
From Packers fans.
Absolutely.
When he's done. I mean, the guy won a Super Bowl and a million MVPs.
I agree. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
That has been your NBA Finals preview with Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch.
And Ed Helms sucks. That's the other thing. Did you get to meet Ben Stiller at all? And do you think he's as overrated as an actor as I do?
I have not met him. I don't know if I should reveal this. He supposedly lives a couple of streets down from me. I have not seen him in town.
Oh, boy. That's awesome.
All right. No gates, though. No gates.
No, there are no.
Oh,
gates.
I bet he's gated. No, I bet old boy's gated.
I don't think so. I've driven on the street. I don't. My town is not a gated town. Not like the Tauscher compound. God.
How about Bill Gates? How about Bill Gates?
Antonio Gates.
No, Kevin Gates? You guys don't know. No way you guys know who Kevin Gates is.
I don't know Kevin Gates.
I don't
see a catcher for the Royals? So. Okay.
Wasn't one of the guys in Hoop Dreams Gates?
Yes.
William Gates?
Yeah, Will Gates, yes. What? Great pull. Well done.
Thank you.
All right, we should let you go now.
Probably should have let me go after the last segment, if we're going to really be honest.
Probably. Right. Yeah, if we're being honest. But
well, congrats on that Rose Bowl title. Bye.
Do your job.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. He joins us every Tuesday to talk. Well, who knows what we're going to talk about, but it's all over the map. He did mention David Gruber, and Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. David and his team have been the best in the business for over 35 years, and I tell you all the time, I hope you never have to make the call, because that means you've never been seriously injured in an accident, but if you are, you need to get what's coming to you, and you need them on your team. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.